him sing than me. This is from the Sullivans that were just with us. Isn't it kind of neat to know that the Sullivan family was in our church just a couple weeks ago, and they are landed in South Africa, getting settled into their home, and going to start working on that new church plant. Well, they wrote a thank you. Thank you so much for having us back to give us a little update on our family and ministry. It was so wonderful to see you again. Your church has such a sweet spirit, and we know it is truly your heart's desire to reach the world with the gospel. Thank you for your generous love offering for our future church plant. We can't wait to report all of what God is doing, are going to do in South Africa. Keep on keeping on. We love you all. And the last word I got, he was down to only needing a couple $1,000 left on that church plant, raising $40,000. So the Lord's met that need. Brother Matt, can we show a quick video real quick? Pastor Ackham is in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's almost done. He'll be with us next Sunday morning. He won't be preaching, just visiting. And then the week after that, he's back to Africa. So just want to give you a little bit of update of what we've done. Frazier has been up at the lake. He had to go to Tanzania to, that's good enough. You don't even have to show the video. That's okay. It's a little blurry, but he went to Tanzania to pick up 6 motorcycles. It's taken him 2 trips there. They're still 1 motorcycle short. Do you know why he's having a hard time getting motorcycles from Tanzania? He called me and he said, Pastor, I could only get 2. Then he went back and he got 3 more. He's still 1 short. And he said, they keep telling me it has to do with something about a big boat getting stuck in the canal. So now he doesn't even know what the Suez Canal is. He said, they keep telling me it's about this big boat getting stuck. So we still have 1 more motorcycle to get for the bush pastors, but we've got 4 of them. All right, we'll go on to the next one. There you go. Okay, this is a huge blessing. I got this from Africa this morning. We bought that boat in September. It went on the water officially today. There's a British guy there that owns a lodge, and he contacted me this morning. He's breaking the engine in today. He's got to put 10 hours on it, and that is a long time coming. I mean, the other boat that we had is smaller than this. It's a little dangerous to go out with one boat. We call that the gospel ship. And that is just a huge, huge answer to prayer. It took forever, but praise the Lord, it's running. And there's the boat. We've got gospel, the gospel boat. So I told Frazier to put gospel ship, but they don't use the word ship, so he put gospel boat on there. And it's in his language on the other side. So we'll see. Is there sound associated with
when
that?
The family. You have the mother and the baby here. This is afternoon. Thanks very much. We have one the family. You have the mother and the baby here. We get for stuff today. We thanks very much for your wonderful support. We appreciate. God bless you for your hand you've given here in Northern Province. This is Pastor Katai. We appreciate for the mother. Right now we have a bag for breakfast for Miu Miu, and we have a salad. You can see 10 liter for container for cooking oil. We have baby powder, we have soap, and we have a formula for the baby. Everything we have. The mother here, we say thank you very much for your support. God bless you. Thank you.
Now, can you understand him? Probably not. I can. He is a Frenchman. He's our second pastor at the lake. He is a Frenchman from the Congo. So not only does he have a French accent, but he's also got a Zambian accent. But what this is, at the lake when we went up there with when Hunter and Lee and Wendell, we went into the village and there were babies. They brought us a baby. It had weighed 4 pounds, 5 pounds. It was 3 months old. And it was literally starving to death because the mom couldn't feed it anymore. She was not nourished properly. She ran out of breast milk and they were feeding the baby Kool-Aid. So a church in Pennsylvania has started a mom and babies program. We go in there, we identify these ladies, and we make sure that while they're pregnant and after they're pregnant, they're getting the right nutrients so they can nurse the baby, because the babies just die, right? And that's it's sad, it's heart-wrenching, but because of that program, many of these ladies have gotten saved. And I think, is there one more? This is the building that we've been working on. This is what we're gonna put the roof on. I'll be there in 2 weeks, we'll be putting a roof on that building. Very similar to the same one we did the last time. That's their baptism service, you know? And I know, guys, that seems like 100 worlds away from you. And probably a little bit intimidating if you were standing right there. And it is if you're not used to it. To me, that's I'm as home there as I am here, you know? And I know that is a very, very, but those are your brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. You know? We have something in common. We're going to be in heaven together. And just thank you. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. And it's a blessing to be able to have that up in Africa. Maggie, do you have those Bibles? Okay. And then I need Gracie and Drew. If you two would come up here. Does it matter which one's which? Okay. These two are going to sing a special this morning. Although I'm sure they're both capable of doing that. This Gracie, here you go. You're welcome. And Drew. And you know, and then we also wanted to give this to you. And let's do this really quick. Like, if you would just turn around. Brother Jordan, would you stand really quick and just pray for these two girls? Can you do that from your... Or, hey, why don't you come up here and do it from up here? Yeah, you're all right. even the preacher's bailing on me. I figured you'd be all right up here. All right. And you know, these are just two wonderful young ladies. And they're graduating high school and now the next chapter. I mean, you think high school, I felt like high school lasted forever. You know, I felt like I was going to but boy, what I'd give. How many of you would give anything to be back in high school again, right? Well, maybe not. Depends on how high school was for you. But now, I mean, think about the road ahead of them, you know, and what God's going to do with them. And we certainly, this is a new road for them. And we want to let them know our church is going to pray for them. Jordan, if you'd pray and just ask God to bless them. Amen. Okay, thank you.
Ready to stand, please. We're going to be singing 366. If Brother Deacon will come forward, we'll sing the offering this morning.
I didn't get the right number, though.
You can go and sing whatever. Brother Allen, will you bless the offering, please?
Thank you.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Amen. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your word. Hide its verses in my heart. You promised me you would come back one day. They hung you from the cross. Rose from the grave, so we might live in the kingdom of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so. Sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
That good song this morning, and happy Mother's Day, by the way. And then if we had somebody else we're getting ready to sing or not, you know, you think about Mother's Day, and of course you know it's not the day's not in the Bible, right? But I think it's really, really good to take a few moments and just think about how much the ladies in our lives, not just mothers, but the ladies in general. Like for me, I had four boys, and then we had Emily right in the middle. We had two boys and a girl, and then two more boys. And I'm very thankful for my little girl. You know, she's a little tougher because she was raised around four boys, but she did kind of lighten the mood a little bit, and I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for it. So this morning, I don't want to just think just about moms in general, but I just want to think about the ladies in our life, whether it's your daughter or an aunt or your wife or your mother. You know, in the world that we live in today, there's so much confusion onto the value of a lady. You know, you certainly are not going to get any direction from Hollywood because they have totally lost their mind. And our government's certainly not going to give you any direction because, according to them, anybody can be a lady. You know, I mean, not a whole lot of direction there, right? So the only place that we can get the value or the direction of a lady is in the Bible, right? And because we have totally dropped the ball with society on the worth of a lady. Do I have this on, Matt? Okay. So that's what I want to look at this morning. If you take your Bibles with me, and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for just being able to come together in a time afterwards, as more many people will sit down with their family and celebrate this day, Mother's Day. Lord, we want to thank you, first off, for sharing your mom with us. Thank you, Lord, that we have her as an example. And Lord, it was evidence you cared about her before you went home to heaven. Lord, you asked John to take care of her. And we are truly thankful for the moms in our life, Lord, that gave us life. Everybody in this room can identify with that. But Lord, I pray that this morning you would help us just to understand the value you've put on a lady. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be some encouragement and some help in the word this morning. And Lord, maybe some instruction for us. Father, I just want to thank you for loving us. Jesus, thank you for being so kind and forgiving in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, we're just going to have a little dialogue as we go through here. Do you know if this was in reversal, most men could not handle this position, right? Because most men do not want anybody telling them what to do at all. And think about when you get married and you enter that, and you fall in love and you're buying flowers and you're writing cards, and then all of a sudden you get married and you burp and you say, woman, do what I tell you, you know? And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, what happened, right? You know, I mean, it would be a little bit offensive, I guess, from a human being standpoint to tell you that you got a boss over you. I mean, we know that Jesus Christ is over us, but that's no problem for him being in charge because he's perfect, right? Well, we as men and as husbands are far from perfect. You know, and when you're asking somebody to just obey and follow you, you know, we have to respect the fact that what it takes to do that on the other end, okay? Not an easy thing to do, okay? They do it because God asked them to do that. They do that because that's the Bible way to do that. But we have to also understand as men, if it was reversed, we would probably be better at doing our job as a leader if we spent a little bit of time in their position as a follower. Okay, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart in that which was not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Now, do you believe the Bible is the word of God? And I know that none of this is new, but in the world we live in today, what do they define beauty as? Okay, and the beauty industry is a multi-million dollar industry, and they can go through and they say, okay, this is what it is to be a beautiful lady or a beautiful woman, and this is the criteria that they put around. But that's not what God said. You know, when God is telling us here, he's giving us a good foundation on what the value of a lady is, and not just a mom, any lady. What a value of a lady and where her true beauty lies. The Bible marks it down for us. It says, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and a wearing of gold and a putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Man, I tell you what, you tell the women that today, and what, you know, they're talking about breaking the glass ceiling and going on and doing all of these things and accomplishing this and accomplishing that. And I can tell you right now, if it was an IQ test, my wife would blow me out of the water, right? But if the oil needed to change, she's going to call me, amen. You know, now maybe some of you ladies can change oil better than I can, but the idea of it is here is that God's the one that said, when you look at a lady, it's not what she wears, it's not necessarily what she does to the outside of her body that makes her important, it's what's on the inside. And you hear it today, true beauty is on the inside. Well, when it's on the inside, it's going to come out on the outside. Right? You know, and you know, a lot of ladies today in the society pushes them to be boisterous and loud, and you know, I can do anything that a man can do, and all of that. But that the idea of it is God made us different on purpose. Okay? He's the one, and you're going to see this in here in just a minute. If you'll keep reading this, it says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor." Now, that's an important word in your Bible that you need to remember. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So it says that we are to honor the women. Why? Because they are a weaker vessel. That doesn't mean, that word does not mean that you are less capable. It has nothing to do with being less capable. It has nothing to do with being less important. A lot in the Muslim world, women are looked down. On the Indian world, the women are looked down. On a lot of cultures in Africa, in a lot of cultures, men, I mean, it used to drive me crazy. I would be over there and see a lady with a 5-gallon bucket of water on her head, and the guy's sitting there. And I'd get out there and I'd carry the water for them. And they're looking at me like, hey, you're going to mess this up. You know? And I'd get those men and I'd say, get over there and carry that bucket of water. It doesn't matter whether or not she's able to do it. The whole idea of it is thank God I grew up when there was still a little bit of common sense left. And man, my mom and dad would have got all over me if I saw a lady carrying something and I didn't jump up and go get it. It's not as though they can't carry it, but it was more of an opportunity to honor them and say this, you're too important. When I got there to Africa, of course, you know there's a long history of apartheid, and the British went in there and they conquered, and so there's a lot of that history there. Well, when I got there, Akam, and remember what you see in Akam, now that's after years of training. When I first got there, Akam would not let me carry my suitcase. Everywhere I'd go, I'm carrying, he'd take it out of my hands, and then he'd walk 15 feet behind me. And I'd be walking, talking to him. I'm thinking he's right there. I turn around and he's back there. I'm like, what are you doing? I said, this isn't colonial days. Get up here. If I went and talked to another white person, Akam would automatically go to the back and stand by himself. And I pulled him to the side and I said, don't you do that. I said, you know what he was doing? He was telling, in his culture, he was saying, you're too important to carry this. And I told him, buddy, uh-uh. I said, I'm no different than you. But you know what God's saying here about honoring the weaker vessel? He's not saying that you're not capable. He's actually saying just the opposite. You're too important to do it. It's something that you ought to take. It's like opening the door. I mean, I know women today, back when I was growing up, that still was something that was looked at. And now you do it to some women, and they'll shut the door and open it themselves so that I can open my own door. It's not that you can't open the door. It's more the idea of what you bring into my life, or what you bring into our life is so special. You hold a place in our family that is so special that we don't want you to have to bother yourself with those things. And it's that idea that has left motherhood, has left being a lady, it's left being any identification as to what a woman is today. That's gone because there's no honor anymore. There's no treating them like they're special. Our world wants to just put everybody together and say that everybody's the same, and God's not saying that. He's saying that you give honor to them because they're the weaker vessel. They're so important to our upbringing, to the shaping of our society, that they're to be protected. They're to be watched over, not in a way that says they're less than us, but in a way that says they are special to us. Now, when I was dating my wife, I got saved in Bible college. So I left a past behind. My second semester, I got saved. I didn't meet Maggie until I was a senior in college, and I started dating Maggie. In order to date her, I had to call her dad. She said, if you're going to date me, you have to call my dad. And I'm like, I'm 23 years old, you know? So I called her dad and I asked permission if I could date his daughter. Well, we started dating. Now, in the Bible college I was in, we had some rules, okay? All right? You couldn't sit 6 inches closer to a girl and all these things. But as we got older and we were getting ready to get out of college, I remember I went to go hold Maggie's hand. And she stopped me. And she said, before you hold my hand, you have to ask my father. And I'm like, well, forget that. You know, I mean, that ain't happening, you know. So I actually picked up the phone and I asked her dad, can I hold your daughter's hand? Now think about that for 1 second. Boy, we are a long ways from that today. Well, if you got to make that phone call to hold your hand, you certainly don't want to make the next one unless you're married. That's going to get really awkward really fast. Think about if we went back to that and we instilled in our young men and in their minds when they're younger that they look at that and say, that's somebody's daughter, that person loves them, that person. Most dads in this room, I mean, daddy's little girl, that saying isn't there accidentally. And that young lady belongs to that dad and that mom. And really, no young man has the right to that young lady until they get married, and certainly not without respecting mom and dad. That's what it's talking about, giving honor to the weaker vessel. Now, I know that might not be popular, but it is Bible. I mean, that's somebody's daughter. That's why you hear about things like shotgun weddings, because dads don't think those things are funny, about cleaning their gun when on the front porch when the date comes home. Why? Because our society has gotten to the point where we no longer value women anymore. You know, where we don't put them at the forefront and say, we're going to honor them. Do you realize that even way back in the Bible, men have been letting women down from the beginning? Do you know that even Adam let Eve down in the Garden of Eden? Okay, now here's something we talked about in Sunday school. Okay, so Adam and Eve were without sin. Eve ate the tree. Now, had Adam not ate the tree, would he, and he had children after that, would we be sinners? Do you know that Adam could have had a child with Eve after she ate the tree and he didn't eat the tree? You would be born without sin, because that's exactly the way Jesus came into this world, because the mother doesn't pass it on, the dad does, right? See, do you know on that day when Adam saw what Eve did, what he should have done is he should have took Eve to the Lord, and he should have been there to help her. On that day, a man let a woman down on that day. And even look about how cowardly this is. They're standing in front of God. They're neck deep in trouble. And what does he say? It's the woman that you gave me. You know, I mean, oh, you want to follow that? You know, I could see Eve saying, well, I didn't see you putting up much of a fight. You know, I mean, you were like woofing that thing down. Yeah, now it's my fault. You know, all of a sudden, the man, do you know what? I am thankful that there are men that I have come across in my life that were better men than Adam, that I know would do anything in the world they possibly could for their family. And on that day, a man let a woman down. You see it right after that. You go into with Abraham and Sarah, and they're visiting this town, and the king sees Sarah, and Abraham gets afraid, and Abraham says, "Hey, tell them that you're my sister." And you're like, "What? You want me to lie?" And he's like, "Well, he might take you and he might kill me." Where's the man in that story? Where's the man that says, "Hey, honey, don't you worry. You stand right by my side, and I'm not going to let him touch you." No, instead he's over there saying, "Hey, just lie and tell him you're my sister." Oh, men have been letting women down for a long time because we forget about what God says they are. They're to be honored. They're to be protected. They're to be put in a spot that's special because of who they are. It's not that they're less. That's not what it has to do. Listen, they are built emotionally different, but you want that, right? Or our children would be very messed up. If the only person that inputted in my kid's life was me, that would be a very scary deal. I am very glad that Maggie's there to soften who I am. Because my kids wouldn't care about anything, you know? I mean, you know, men in nature are different than women, and we need that. And you can see, though, where the system has let women down for an awful long time. Think about this. Think about Lot letting down his two daughters. Right? I mean, what a letdown. Where's Dad, man? Shut the door saying, "Guys, we're going out with a blaze of glory, but those men ain't come." That man actually took his two daughters and told that city, "If you would leave those angels alone, you can have my daughter." You know what? Although that story might not play out today, unfortunately, we send our young girls out there in that world, and we no longer say anything. We no longer say, "Hey, you shouldn't do that," or "You shouldn't date him," or "You shouldn't dress like that," or "You shouldn't go there." Why? Because we're just conforming to the world around us instead of letting that Bible tell us what we ought to do. You know, I mean, listen, I am a dad and I do have a daughter. You know what? They always don't like it when you tell them how they need to dress, but bless God, it doesn't matter. Because what I don't want to happen is one day be like Lot and say somebody, "Hey, he watched that happen. I mean, and he just didn't do anything about it. He didn't get in there." Well, listen, what you'll see is a line of kicking and screaming. You know, I mean, what he did is he let her down. That dad let down those two girls that day. Let them down. He didn't go have the hard conversation with them. He didn't sit there and say, no way are they coming in this. And because of that, after they left that situation, those two girls had a child with their own father. Now, how do you get to such convoluted mess? Well, I promise you, if they had a man in their life, that story might have been a little bit different. You know, and you continued on, you know, Rahab the harlot, all of those men in that city had abused that lady. I mean, when the Bible identifies, there's lots of Rahabs in Jericho. She probably wasn't the only Rahab. If you wanted to know which Rahab that they were talking about, the Bible says she's Rahab the harlot. If you ask the men of that city, "Hey, where's Rahab?" "Well, which Rahab?" "Oh, the one that's by the gate." "Oh, you mean Rahab the harlot." That was what the world would identify her about. And the men would talk bad about her until they went to visit her. She was just used even way back then. But man, I tell you something. As much as society has let women down, God has not. Amen. Okay? He has been a man that has stood for women since the beginning of time. And you watch it with Eve as she lost, as she was witnessed the first murder on the earth. And you have a brokenhearted of a mom. You know what God did from heaven? He stood up for women and he gave her another child. Amen. Where men have let women down, God has not let women down. And may I tell you something today? It does not matter whether or not you feel your self-worth in this world today. I want you to know something, that you are important to God. And he's not going to let you down. You not only was Rahab let down, the woman at the well was let down. The woman caught in the act of adultery was let down. I want you to go, if you would, with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And then I want you to look at verse 2. John chapter 8 at verse 2. You know, so many times today, women will say that the reason why they put up with what they put up with out of men in society is because they feel like that's what's expected out of them. Many, many times, young women today, when they're dating somebody, the reason why they begin to leave the thing is because they just feel like that's what's expected out of them. That's what they're supposed to do. But guys, boy, that's a dark world when we get to that point. You know, in John chapter 8 and verse 2, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and the people came down and he sat down. Let's see, make sure I got this verse right. Where's verse 11? Okay, yep, we're there. So this is about the woman at the well. Let's go down to verse 2. And early in the morning he came in again in the temple, and all the people came, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto the woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And now you know the story. I want you to go down to verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and I saw and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Well, you know, that's a familiar story. I just want you to think about that event. Here's this lady. The men of the city have taken her in the act. The other person in the act, the man, wasn't brought down. And so they're standing there, they're wanting to stone her, and then Jesus says, He without sin cast the first stone. And you know how that goes. At the end of it, all the men leave, and there's just that lady. And he says to the lady, Where are your accusers? You know, those men let her down. The men of that city let her down. The man she was involved in let her down. But you know who did not let her down that day? Do you know that woman felt like she's probably about that big? That woman felt like she had no value. Could you imagine the embarrassment of sitting there in that circle and everybody knowing what you just did? And then Jesus comes along, and what does he do to that young lady? He all of a sudden gives her value back again. And he looks at her and he says, You are important because I loved you and I died for you. And on that day, he said, Listen, I did not make you for just the pleasure of some man that doesn't care about you. I made you for much more than that. And he took her past. When nobody else cared about it, God cared about it. And he gave that value. You may feel like maybe perhaps things have happened in your life that have removed that. But may I tell you something? In Christ, there is value. And you are important. It doesn't matter the road that you've walked or things that have happened to you. Jesus was telling that lady that she was important. Remember the woman at the well? The very first thing that she said to Jesus was this. Because she's a Samaritan. You don't talk to Samaritans. They were the lower class people. Jesus is walking up, talking to her. And the first thing that she said to him, Why are you talking to me? Now, she's saying that because she felt like she had no value. And now all of a sudden, here's this guy talking to her. And it's actually the Son of God himself at that well, at a woman who's been beat up and taught that she's not important. And all of a sudden, here's somebody making her important, telling her about heaven, led her to the Lord at that well. And you talk about valuing women. A lot of the stories that you find about in the Bible are based around women, and God is there when nobody else is there. And that day, I mean, how embarrassing is it to know? And he says to her, Well, where's your husband? And she says, I don't have one. And he's like, Yeah, you're right. You had five, and the one you're with now. Can you just imagine how embarrassing that would be to know that people know that? And you think, Well, you know, what's the sense of even trying? That's out there, right? You know what, Jesus, you know what, God, you know, he didn't leave the conversation after that. He didn't say, Oh, you've been married five times, I'm out of here. You know, he didn't do that. You know what he did? He gave her the gift of eternal life that day. And all of a sudden, a lady who thought she was a nobody left there a somebody. And when she went back in that town, for the first time, people listened to her. Sean, she didn't walk back in that town like this. She walked in that town by, hey, you got to come. You got to see a man that told me. Well, number one, why would you want to bring? I'd be like, I ain't going there. I mean, she said, come see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. Lord, I'd have been like, uh-uh. I mean, she's happy about it. She's gone, this woman before, nobody would talk to her. She didn't feel like she was loved. She didn't feel like she had any value. All of a sudden, she met Jesus, and Jesus gave her some importance back in again. She didn't care about her past. So what if you know about it? I found somebody that loves me anyway. I found somebody that forgiven me. And I found somebody that loves me and is going to treat me the way I'm supposed to be treated. And man, I'll tell you something. She was excited about what she heard. She's excited about who she met. And the whole town came out. You know why? Because they're thinking this woman's nuts. And they got saved that day. Remember when Jesus went into the Pharisee's house? And the Pharisee made him dinner. And then the lady came in and she was crying and she was washing Jesus' feet with her tears. And remember what the Pharisee said in his heart? He said, if this truly was a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is that touches him, because she is a sinner. The Pharisee looked at that lady and said, how dare she walk into my house? And look, she's touching the prophet. He's no prophet. If he was a prophet, Jesus heard him. And here's this lady. All she hears in the background is people talking about her. You know how hard that would have been to walk in there and know that you're not wanted and you're not cared for by anybody in that room except one. And those ladies, those tears that hit Jesus' feet, you know where they came from? Right here. It came from her self-worth. It came from feeling for the first time in her life that her value isn't in what she could do for a guy. Her value is in Christ Jesus. It didn't matter what anybody else was in that room. It just mattered that Jesus loved her. And you can follow that throughout the whole entire Bible. And what I would tell you this morning is this, ladies. If you feel as though a man in your life has let you down, let me tell you something. I know a man that won't let you down.
Amen.
And it's not me. A man that won't let you down, his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he loves you. And I tell you, a man who understands the value of a lady on the cross, when he's there and he's bleeding and he can't breathe and he's got a crown of thorns pressing down on his head, he sees his mom. And he says, John, take care of my mom. Man, out of all the things that he was going through in his mind, his dad can't even look on him anymore. He's just trying to breathe. You know what he said that day to all the world? Happy Mother's Day. He said, man, take care of her while I'm gone. You don't think he got up to heaven and said, look, angels, you watch over her. You don't let her break a fingernail. You guard her every day. You better take good care of her while I'm gone. Woo! You know why? Jesus cares about ladies.
Amen.
You know, and men, I tell you this. If you have a lady in your life, whether it's your daughter or your wife, or your mom, or an aunt. This world doesn't know how to take care of women. But we do. And we got a chance today to let the ladies in our life know that they're important. Do you know that some of the reasons that these stories happen in the Bible is because because men have failed them? Now, you can't blame your sin on somebody else, but listen. It would all be better if you had a good example right in front of you, right? You know, if a man has neglected his wife and he has put her in a spot where she's lonely, although she should not do and she should not go someplace else, if that happens, that person owns some responsibility in making sure that his wife's not lonely. If your wife's got an emotional need, look, you don't fill it, somebody else is going to fill it. And we can't leave them vulnerable. And our young ladies, if they don't feel loved and they don't feel like they're important, they're going to look someplace for that. They're going to try and find that someplace. But if God has blessed you with a lady in your life, whether it's your daughter, your mom, your wife, your aunt, just a family, whoever it is, if you really want to make this day important, You make sure that the women in your life know where their value is. And it has to do with how we treat them. When we begin to treat them for really who they are, maybe we've got a chance. We won't change the world because that ship sailed. But man, I'll tell you what. We can make a dent in our churches, and our young men need to know the value of a lady. And especially when, you know, my daughter's not married yet, and the day that she does get married, I think about the conversation I'm going to have with that guy. Because I love that kid. And she's my little girl. I don't want her crying in some bedroom and in an argument that's rocking the walls and being called names. I don't want her to do that. I don't want her to feel lonely or by herself. I mean, she's my little girl. But after she goes out of my home, I can't control that, right? And I'm praying that God one day would send a guy that knows how to honor women, right? And you know what's sad is that sometimes we may have to admit, men, we've not always done that. And maybe it's a good day. And I know that most people expect on Mother's Day for the mothers to get roasted, not so much the men. But the bottom line is, guys, we could do a little bit better job at that. And setting a concrete example for the world around us of really where the value of women is. And I'll say this one more time and I'll close. Listen, ladies, you know, I know that this society is broken, but I promise you one thing. That Jesus Christ knows the value of a lady. And if you're hurting today, all I can say is run to him. He won't let you down. And guys, do you know what'll go a million miles? As an honest to goodness, will you forgive me? Go a million miles. Maybe there's a guy out there that just needs to make a phone call to some lady in his life and say, hey, will you forgive me? Remember Elijah with a woman, with a widow lady, didn't have any food? Do you think she was the only hungry person in that area? No, but she didn't have a husband. God cared about her. There's a lot of lonely people out there that don't need to be lonely. There's lonely people in the church that don't need to be lonely, right? But it all has to do with whether or not we as men are going to accept our responsibility. And that's to value women the way women are. And then ladies, don't let this world tell you who you are. Don't let them do that. You let the Bible tell you who you are. And you're important to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning, that you would work in our heart. And Lord, I pray as society just seems like it's eroding around us, Lord, that even though this might not be a very popular topic, Lord, it's one that our world desperately needs. And I pray that you would help us. Lord, we love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Sam.